Welcome to season two of We're Listening, the podcast. We are back with fresh perspective and a renewed energy. So whether you're new to the community or a seasoned practitioner, we continue to create a community where every voice is valued, respected, and heard. Welcome to today's episode. Welcome, 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 everyone. We are back. You probably noticed that everything looks a little different, but it's still the same old feel, which is love. We are in season two now. We've advanced the conversation and we've opened or broadened the conversation, as I should say, to just include a wider audience of some more brilliant and beautiful and intelligent human beings who just share their story and their experience of what life is like now after experiencing or having a transformation with the three principles. And today is just like any other day, a wonderful human being in whom the first time I was actually supposed to interview, my internet went down, but we were still able to have a conversation. And you're going to fall in love with him just like I did, man, because it's the passion and the joy behind his story and the way that he helps people. Please, please, please clap your hands, jump up, shout, make some noise for my guy, Mike Hurd. What's going on, man?
Hi, Rob. I'm so excited to be here. Doing well. How are you doing?
No complaints. Just riling you up, getting all the expectations high for you. Just
wonderful introduction. That was fantastic.
No, man, I did. I really enjoyed our time just getting to know you because you had reached out and you know, we start talking. But when I was listening to you, man, I just got a feeling like, oh, man, I can't wait for us to have this conversation. So before we do that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of just, who are you, man? Tell them who Mike is.
Yeah, thanks. So who am I? Well, I grew up in the state of Maine. So I live in the Northeast of the U.S. and raised my family here for the most part. We moved a little bit, but spent most of our time in Maine. Been married for 32 years, have two adult daughters, one son-in-law and one soon-to-be son-in-law. And personally, I'm a competitive swimmer. I'm a swim coach, an adult learn-to-swim instructor as well. And professionally, I'm a business coach and a life coach and have some other side projects as well. But very, very passionate about my coaching business.
I remember the swim part because everybody knows, or if you haven't known, or if you're first tuning in, I wanted to learn how to surf. I was driving to a client and we have this road here called PCH, which is just right off by the water. And I see this guy surfing and it just feels like it's the coolest and best thing in the world. Like, I'm going to do that. Order all the gear, get it all here. Get out in the water and realize, wait a minute, I can't swim out here. Like, I can't in a swimming pool. And I don't even know if you really want to call it swimming in the swimming pool. I'm getting to the side, so I'll die. But out there in the water, man, it hit my knees. I got a little nervous. I was back out the water. So I have not learned to surf, nor have I learned to swim. But anyway, long story.
Well, so, I can help with that, Rob.
We'll you got me. You got me on that? Yeah. I appreciate it. Let's start here. Giving all of the things that you do and have going, like, what's a normal day? What is a day in the life of Mike like now that brings you so much excitement or joy?
That's a great question. So I love creating. Mm-hmm. And so right now for me, that means I decided to write a book basically about the story that I'm going to tell today. And so you'll learn about what my book is about soon. And I decided I wanted to learn French. So I spend half an hour to an hour per day on my French studies, just something that I decided at age 56, I wanted to learn French for real this time. I took it in high school, but I didn't really learn it back then. So
do you have any plans of going, or you're just learning the language?
I would love to go to France. To France. And there are a lot of countries where French is spoken, but definitely would love to go to France.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, and creating, in the process of creating some coaching programs, and I love helping people, and I've really been into wanting to tell my story, which for me, I'm just such in such a, it's almost like I have to pinch myself that I'm just feeling so good about, overcoming a 50 years of an anxiety disorder that I've had that I'll share with you in a little bit, but repercussions of that have just been like overflowing into other areas of my life as well. So.
It's so interesting you say 50 years because I was listening to Michael talk this morning and he said, no matter how long you could have been in that, it only takes one thought to get you out of it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's exactly what happened in my situation.
Well, let's get into it, man. You got me on the hook. I'm ready, man.
So
Let's go.
I've lived all of my conscious life that I can remember with a shy bladder, which for me meant that I had either difficulty or it was impossible for all of my life up until recently to be able to use a public bathroom. And I can I remember, and I say 50 years because I can vividly remember some incidents that may or may not have caused this. The experts really don't know what causes shy bladder, and frankly, I didn't even know experts were even looking at this up until a few months ago. Like, I
Yeah.
thought I was the only person in the world that had a shy bladder that was not able to, essentially, urinate in public, and not in public, but in a public restroom. And, think like a restaurant that's really busy, or going to a ball game, or going to a concert, or traveling at an airport, which for most people is like the normalest thing in the world to use the public restroom there. But for me, it was layers upon layers of thinking about it. And there's a physical piece to this too, where from what I've learned, the brain actually turns off this involuntary muscle that's required for a person to go normally. So, but I remember, Rob, in first grade, knowing that it was uncomfortable for me to go with other people around. And I was in the bathroom in first grade, and I looked under the stall to see if anybody was in the bathroom. And my first grade teacher, I didn't know this, but she was holding the door. And she was quick to, she had a very pretty good temper and was quick to blow. And at this time, I just remember seeing her veins popping out of her neck, and I can picture her face just getting purple with yelling at me, "What is taking you so long? Just go, hurry up." And so that's, I can just remember this going back to first grade, that, I back then was trying to figure out ways to cope with this situation where I didn't really understand. I just knew I couldn't go in a public situation. So I and
So
today I
did
can. So so
oh well that's actually a very good thing for you because I can see the smile that it puts on your face having
yeah.
that available or having it now. But was it like did you have the sensation to go first before you went in and or
Oh yeah,
w
no, it's not a, in fact, I've had people say, well, can't you just try? If you have to go bad enough, you'll just go. But that's not how it works
got it.
with this condition. It doesn't, that mechanism isn't in place where I can't force myself to go. And I'll tell a story that will exemplify, or not, or will make this point more clear, which help lead me to where I on the road to recovery, basically. Would you like me to
Absolutely,
share?
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm 56, so I lived must be for 50 years with this. I remember, going to a Red Sox game, Fenway Park. You hear about, what a storied stadium that is and how exciting, and just really looking forward to that event with my parents. And again, young age, can't remember exactly how old, but it was about the same time frame. And that bathroom situation was the scariest thing I've ever walked into in my life. I had to go. And it was just the urinals there, the bathroom there was just a wall of ceramic, and it went all the way to the floor. So it was like just going on the wall.
I've been to one of those baseball
And
stadiums before.
yeah. And then like had to be hundreds of men in there waiting to go, and side by side, and there's just no way I could go. And I just remember my parents being frustrated with it, and I just couldn't go. In situations like that throughout my life, where I've been in public situations, and it's been very uncomfortable. Had to revolve, family plans around how can I figure out a way so I can go to the bathroom on this trip, and I'd always figure it out. I don't, for me, I don't believe that my life has been, I'm trying to think of the right word, that I was, I've always figured it out, but it's been, but Rob, it's been just such a, like every time that I've left the house to go somewhere, it's, I better go now before, I don't really have to go, but I better go because I don't know what the situation is going to be like when I'm out there, thinking about the what ifs. And and what I've learned is there's a physical piece of this, which is true. I can't force myself to go, but there's also a psychological piece that I've learned, which is the layers upon layers of thinking about, I didn't realize that it wasn't normal to have a whole lot of thinking walking into a bathroom about, oh, I wonder if I'm standing here too long, or if someone's noticing me standing here too long, or if someone can hear me, or if, they can see what I'm doing. Like there's all this thinking that I found out that people who have this condition tend to have a whole lot of thinking when they walk into a bathroom, where most people just walk in and they don't have that thinking. They're just like, how can I get in and out? And
Getting out of here very quickly.
yeah.
Get back to what I'm doing.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, there's something I want, and I think it just came up as a result of the two stories that you've told. But if I'm a parent, how would I know if one of my kids has a shot bladder? Like, what can I be looking for? Because maybe they did get shunned at school or something, and I'm just not aware of it. Like, how would I would w is it something you would have felt comfortable if your parents had came and asked? Like, what should a
Like,
parent do right now?
that's a great question. And what I've learned is that there about 6% of the population in the world have, they guess, they don't know the exact number, but so in the US it would be around 25 million people probably have some variation of this. And for many, it does start as a young person or a teenager, and it often will result become a result of being bullied, in some fashion, in or around the bathroom. Many of the stories that I've heard from others who have this, like, they vividly remember that incident that they could go fine before that, and then after that they couldn't. So I guess the answer it would be if it's not just boys or men that have this condition. Women have it as well, but it's not as prevalent. So 1 out of every 10 people who have it is a woman. So it's not just boys, it's boys and girls. But if there's a change in bathroom behavior where, I can just speak for myself, where I would not go if we were in public. I would hold it. So, if you think your child has, I've heard, like, I have a steel bladder, or I have a, mm-hmm. or I can hold it for, I can, you know, boy, I could really hold it for a long, all day, or, that there's a reason for that, for the holding it. And I don't know, just, noticing, has there been a change in the bathroom behavior where the child is uncomfortable in situations where it was fine before?
Yeah. Thank you for that.
And there's resources too, Rob. The organization, as I tell my story, the organization that really has been life-changing for me is the, so the shy bladder, there's a scientific name for it called periuresis. Periuresis. Okay. And there's the International Periuresis Association. And there's a website, and you can Google it as well, but there's all sorts of resources that I found. And the thing is, Rob, I never, the internet's been around since the 90s, and so has this association, this nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. And I never knew it existed because I never thought to look. Like, yeah. I that's how deeply ingrained this was in my head, that I really thought I was the only one who had this.
And that was actually going to be my next question. That's so wild you said that, because I was thinking that, like, what did you feel like going from it's not just me to it's possibly 25 million others?
It was like a weight, like it was a physical feeling of a weight being lifted off my shoulders or off my chest. That it was just such a freeing feeling to know that I wasn't alone, like, okay. Essentially what happened is, I last November I was on a flight from Las Vegas to the East Coast, and it was a 5.5 hour flight, and usually with flying I dehydrate myself. I just don't drink anything before a flight because I just don't know if I'm going to be able to go or not. And use, airport and bathrooms are really difficult, as are airplanes. And for me, and it was true on this flight back from Las Vegas, where I didn't time it quite right. I probably had a drink or two because it was a little bit later flight, and I got a couple hours into it, and I had a full bladder. So this is where, you think, you'd asked before, or it came up, like, even with a full bladder, thinking that my bladder was going to burst, which is, I've actually learned since on this journey, that your bladder can't actually burst. It doesn't work that way, but it feels like it.
Good to know. I didn't know that either.
on that flight where, I did try to go, and I just couldn't, as bad as I had to. And I just went back to my seat, and I sat down, and I was just, like, super frustrated and angry. And then I just released it, Rob. I just released it to the universe, and I asked for help. And then I also asked my wife for help, which was part of that as well. And she heard me, and my wife is the only one that I've ever told about this. I've never told anybody I have a shy bladder. But I asked for help, and She did some researching and found this International Periuresis Association, and I was open, Rob. I was just at a point in my life where I wanted to, first off, I really believed that I could overcome it. I didn't know how, but I believed I had hope, and I asked for help.
That's pretty much quite the template. And what I mean by template is just the essence of what you just said is, when you were stuck, you stopped. And with the hope, you were able to see something else. And then you begin to experience something else. Like that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. And interesting when you think of how much of your experience was that accounted for in
Conscious
your
and subconscious.
clutches, yeah, in your planning, in your the execution, and in what you could do and what you couldn't do. And now you have this newfound freedom where you went from only one person knowing to now you're on platforms talking about it to the entire world. Like what talk to me about this shift. What happened? Where were you that this no longer was going to weigh on you like it did before?
So I found this organization's website in last December, so December of 23. And I bought a book that the website recommended. That talked about the condition and different strategies or techniques that have been proven to help people improve their condition or recover from it. Bought a book. It also said on the website, and watched some different videos, and I signed up for a support group. Rob, imagine that. Like, I never knew there was a support group for people that had shy bladders. Early January, I attended my first support group. And prior to that, I met with the executive director. We did a one-on-one, and he was the second person that I'd ever told and about my shy bladder. And just telling like one other person was just this amazing emotional release to tell somebody else and to hear that other people have this. But I still didn't quite. Like I knew, like I was starting to see that other people had it. And so I went to this virtual support group. It was on Zoom, and it was a bunch of people, men and women, who I just started listening to the stories of other people tell their stories. And I got to tell my story. And it was just so comforting and liberating knowing that. Hearing other people's stories and knowing that I wasn't alone. So I signed up for everything. I signed up for the virtual workshop, and then there was an in-person workshop in Boston. That was a few weeks later. And in between those two workshops, I was going on another trip, business trip to Las Vegas. And I was like, it would be really cool. Like, I would really love to go on that airplane and be able to go to be able to use the laboratory. So I went to the workshop, and a lot of what I learned in the workshop was part of a technique called graduated exposure, which is basically you pair up with a, they call it a pee buddy, which is kind of funny when I was thinking about it, but it actually was pretty amazing how it worked, where virtually you just kind of gradually get closer and have the person get closer and closer to you to kind of mimic what it would be like in a public restroom situation. And we did this virtually, so on our phones, and it was really, really effective and helped. And then, becoming a three principles practitioner, I, when I hear the word technique, I kind of and but what was interesting to me as I was thinking back on this is learning the techniques that I have, that I know the three principles, like my understanding of the three principles is what calmed my thinking in the first place to put me in a state of mind where I was open to asking for help and receiving the help. And in this case, the help was multifaceted. Like, I can't even tell you, I'm going to try and tell you all the different ways that this has helped me, but started to see results. I would actually go, there's a Walmart nearby, so I'd go and practice at the, different bathrooms, and it was working. And I went on this trip to Las Vegas, and I was success. So I drank a little bit more than I usually would, so I would have to go on the airplane because I was going to go. I just made up my mind I was going to go, and I learned these techniques. And lo and behold, I was successful. I use the word successful. It's really not the right word. Successful is actually just trying. I was able to void in the laboratory and on the airplane. Like, I wanted to high five the flight attendant on my way out. I was so excited. And then I spent the business trip practicing in the casinos and the convention center, and was in the new Las Vegas Sphere where U2 is playing and stuff. And I was just like having a blast. I just completely changed the way that I thought about the experience. And it was, towards the end of my trip, I was just having so much fun. I was gamifying it, trying to find a place that I couldn't actually.
Look at you, right?
And then, Rob, I attended an in-person workshop and in Boston, and one of the other attendees is creating a documentary on his journey with periuresis. And so right from the get-go, I volunteered to be videotaped during this workshop. So it's not complete yet. It won't be for a while. But the thought that occurred to me at that point was, if I can go near other people being videotaped for at some fashion, then I can do anything. Because of the feedback that I received and how I felt in sharing it, I've just been sharing it, Rob. So yeah, now here I am on your worldwide podcast.
I love it, man, because I'm all about some transparency and some authenticity. Like that's just what I hear in your story. You're just telling your story. You're just telling your story. And what I love about it is I may not have the same narrative, but boy, do I got a bunch of those feelings of having a whole bunch of thinking about making the decision and having to plan my whole life around crowds. For me, was a big thing when I was transitioning through PTSD. Like, you're not catching me in crowds. It ain't happening, So I can 100% understand that. And I love the kind of joy that's radiating through you from seeing past it, because I know what it feels like myself, when I get to see this a new experience of life from something that's kind of held me for so long. Other than being a star, probably end up winning an Oscar or some shit. Like, other than being a star, like, what are you doing? I don't mean to not give you your credit, sir.
Yeah, thanks. No, that could definitely be a possibility, right? But I'm not banking on that. The first thing is I decided to write a book about this, and so I don't have a time frame on that yet, but I really would love to help people who are suffering from anxiety and overwhelm and stress. I believe that through my coaching and being authentic and sharing my story as part of I've already seen how it has helped other people and who have told me that it has helped them. And so I do one-on-one coaching. People can find me at michaelrhurd.com. michaelrhurd.com is my website. Several years ago, met Kathy Casey, who's been a mentor of mine and has become a colleague. And she and I have created some coaching programs, 4-3 Principles Coaches, and we're working on some other projects right now. So
Right now, though, we have to pause for a second because this is where all the balloons come down and the confetti goes out because I love me some Kathy Casey. So shout
Me
out
too.
to Kathy Casey. Ding, ding, ding. I don't know how to put those effects in, but Kathy, you ever hear this? Know that I love you. And this is where all of the pom-poms are being thrown up in the air. I love you, Kathy. All right, my bad, man. Go
I'll second that sentiment. Wow,
ahead.
she, Kathy is fantastic. And I've learned so much from her and really so many others in the Three Principles global community. If anyone listening knows somebody who is also suffering from shy bladder, that that I would welcome the opportunity to point them into some the directions that that have helped me.
Oh man, I appreciate that so much, Mike. I thank you, man, for stopping through, for being so open, so vulnerable to share your story. I'm gonna actually leave me with a nugget of wisdom I can hold on to, I can listen to.
Thank you, Rob. So grateful to be here today, and I'll leave you with, if you're suffering, you're not alone. I've realized that through this experience, and there's hope. So that's what I'll leave you with, is there absolutely is hope.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more information about the podcast, please go to 3pgc.org. If you're looking for more information about how to become a practitioner, or you want to be featured on the show as a new, fresh voice in the principles, send us an email at info@3pgc.org. We'd love to hear from you. Knowing there is no end or limitation, nor are there boundaries to the human mind, have the day you deserve.